Real quick, before we do get started, quick announcement. For those that are going to CYC, really those that are in high school going to CYC, please see me after church. I do have your excuse forms. I have them signed and ready to hand out to you so you can get them to your teachers and you can be excused for Friday's school day. If you will, turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Tonight's lesson, we're talking about regret versus repentance. We're going to be looking at the differences between regret and repentance. We're going to look at a couple of people in our Bible who have regretted and who have repented. And we're going to see how both of their stories go tonight. But 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Growing up, I'm curious if I was the only one. My dad said this to me every time I would apologize, or maybe not every time, but sometimes when I would apologize, he would say, "Are you sorry or are you sorry you got caught?" I don't know if that's a well-known term or if that's something that a lot of parents say, but that's always stuck with me. Are you sorry or are you sorry you got caught? Are you sorry what you actually did? Do you actually mean that you're sorry? Or are you sorry that you just got caught doing it? Is there a regret in there, or is there more of a repentance in there? And that's kind of what we're going to be paying attention to tonight. We are imperfect people who fall short of God's glory every single day. I don't think anybody in here can claim that they are a perfect person. I don't think anybody in here can claim that they do not commit sins, that they're perfect in every single way. Of course, we only know of one perfect person, and that's Jesus, who lived that perfect life. But us, as humans, we are imperfect. We fall short of God's glory. We fall short to the sin. We get caught up in the world. We get caught up in everything around us that keeps us from following God or being able to follow God to the best of our abilities. But what matters is how we handle that sin in our lives, how we handle the times that we fall short, how we handle the times that we let God down in our everyday lives. Tonight, we have two people that we're wanting to look at, who we're going to pay attention to, who we're going to see two people who have fallen short in God's glory. And we're going to see how they kind of react, how they handle falling short. We're going to see how they come back from this situation. Our first person tonight is Judas. I've talked a lot about Judas here lately. I really enjoy Judas as a person within the Bible. There's a lot to learn from Judas. But first, we do want to pay attention to some things about Judas. Who was Judas? As Caleb read earlier in Matthew 10, 11 through 14, he was one of Jesus' followers. He was a chosen person. And even verse 4, or where he talks about that the person who betrays Jesus is Judas, or Jesus' betrayer. Jesus foretells of Judas' betrayal. If you'll turn to me in Matthew chapter 26, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time tonight, Matthew chapter 26. It just so happens both stories are right here. We're going to see the first part, and then we're going to see the foretelling. In verse 14 of Matthew chapter 26, "Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they said to him, 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus." We have Judas going throughout the Bible. We have him following Jesus. We have him being the money person when it comes to the 12. We have him, we know now of him stealing from that money. We see that he had some ulterior motives. He wasn't really fully on Jesus' side. He goes to the high priest, and the chief priest, and he's trying to turn Jesus in for money. He's trying to be accepted by those around him. He's trying to gain some sort of monetary value for this. If you skip down to verse 20 in the same chapter, "When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'It is I, Rabbi.' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Jesus foretells of this betrayal. Jesus foretells of what's about to happen. As we continue to read, and of course, as most of us know, we do see the betrayal. As we see it in verse 30 in the same chapter. And when they had sung a hymn, they went... I'm sorry. Where have I made it to? Oh, I'm sorry. And we continue to read the betrayal of Jesus in verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas came out. Or Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with his sword and club from the chief priest and the elders and the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. And we know how the story goes from there. And we're going to get here in a second about how he returns from that. But we see this betrayal that Judas has made. We see this betrayal, this turning on Jesus that he has done. Not only that, he's calling him Rabbi. He's been following him. And we still see that he has betrayed Jesus. If you turn, or if you flip over to chapter 27 and verse 3, Matthew 27 verse 3, it says, "Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' They said, 'What is it? What is that to us? See it yourself.' And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, 'It is not lawful to put into the treasury, since it is blood money.'" We see how he responds to this sin that he has committed. We see how he responds to this betrayal that it comes to Jesus' life. And how he has betrayed an innocent man. And we see his story. The second story is Peter. It's a little bit different. Peter's also in the same situation. Peter's also a follower of Jesus. He has followed him around. He knows his teachings. Same part in Matthew chapter 10. And we see Peter's introduction for that. Jesus foretells of Peter's denial. If you will, turn to me once again, Matthew 26 and verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same thing." Jesus is coming out and he's telling them, "Hey, you're going to scatter from me. As the shepherd is slain, as the shepherd is hurt, the sheep are going to run away." And Peter's one that stands up first. Peter's one saying, "Hey, no matter what happens, I will not fall away from you." And Jesus comes out and says, "Listen, before the rooster crows, not only are you going to fall away from me, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I think that's just the biggest punch in the face to Peter, in my opinion. You're a follower of God. You've been by Jesus' side this entire time. You trust in Jesus. You do all these things for Jesus. And for him to say that and say, "You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows." And now at this point, he's trying to prove him wrong. He's saying, I'm not going to do that. Even if I must die, I will not deny you. As you continue reading throughout, you see it in verse, in chapter 26, verse 69 through 70. "Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus, the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you mean.' And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly." we go on to see Peter's greatness in the early church. We go on to see all the great things that Peter's done for this church. We go to see on all the great things on how he's stood for God after he's sinned here, after he has betrayed Jesus. And we see that. And we're looking at these two people, and we're looking at how similar they are. We're trying to figure out what the difference is. They both are followers of Jesus. They've heard his teachings. They've seen some miracles. They've heard what he says. They've both been told that, hey, listen, you're going to be the one to betray me. Hey, you're going to be the one to deny me three times before the rooster crows. They've been told these things. They're in the same setting as each other. Not one is higher than the other at this point. They're both there at the same time. But they both deny Jesus. They both go against Jesus. Judas and Peter have so much in common. It boils down to repentance and faith. It boils down to this regret that we're talking to and this repentance that we're talking to. And both of those boil down to the faith itself. And that's what we're going to be paying attention to tonight, is making sure that we always can focus on that repentance, that we can always focus on that faith that we have in God. That no matter if Jesus is going out and telling them that they're going to sin against him, and they're denying it, and they eventually do, we need to make sure that when we sin against God, we know how to handle ourselves. We know how to get back up and repent. We know how to get back up and get back to our lives. That we're not going to let this sin in our lives drag us down. We're not going to let this sin in our lives hang over our heads forever. And we're going to make sure that we can do that. We're going to make sure we can move on from that. So we're going to be looking at regret or repentance. We're going to be looking at Peter's first, or I'm sorry, we're going to be looking at Judas's first, and we're going to get over to Peter's as well. But did Peter repent of his sins, or did he regret his sins? Really, it's supposed to say Judas. Did Judas repent of his sins, or did he regret of his sins? And there's a fine line between that. If you're repenting of your sins, you're accepting your sins. You're truly sorry for your sins. You're humbling yourself before God. And the regret, we're going to get to the regret here in a second. Matthew says Judas felt remorse for what he did. That he had felt remorse for what he had done. The Greek word in there is within the Bible itself, is only appears six times in the New Testament. It's translated differently depending on the version you're using. But we see some remorse as far as it's translated with remorse. We see how it's translated within change of mind. The ESV translates it here as a change, or he changed his mind. Though it's related, it is not the same word as repentance. So the word here, we're not seeing any repentance when it comes to Judas, when it comes to him sinning against God. He regretted his decision. He regretted what he had done, but he has not repented for what he had done. At some level, Judas felt bad, but he only showed regret. He didn't show that repentance. He was just sorry for what he did. He was sorry he got caught for what he had done. So we're seeing that regret there. Regret eats away at you. It's very different from repentance. It eats away at you. It doesn't help you change or lead you to anything positive. Regret means that you wish it didn't happen. But it doesn't mean that you're sorry or that you're willing to change. We need to make sure that we're not regretting the things in our life. We need to make sure we're not regretting the sin in our life. We need to make sure that we're ready to repent of those sins in our lives, that we're fully ready to change when it comes to the things in our lives. Then we get to Peter. For Peter, he had hurt the man that he had come to know and love. He had hurt Jesus. He, as he sat there before, as we read earlier in chapter 26, that he was willing to die for Jesus before he betrayed him three times. But we see here he still betrays him. We see here that he hurt the man that he had come to know and love. He wasn't just sorry that he had made a mistake. He was sorry he hurt the Lord. He wasn't just sorry that he had messed up. He wasn't just sorry because he got caught. He was sorry that he hurt the Lord. He was sorry that he hurt someone so close to him. Someone that he truly loved. Someone that he had faith in. And he felt great remorse for it. And he was willing to repent. Regret is self-focused. But repentance is God-focused. Just like we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. We're seeing it again here. Regret is self-focused, but repentance is God-focused. And when we're focused on ourselves, we're only focused on the things that we do, on the worldly things of us, of what's best for us, that's when we get caught up in the regret. But when we humble ourselves, when we slow ourselves down, when we allow ourselves to look at Jesus, to look at God and read the Bible, we see that repentance. And we come to that repentance as well. We see Peter's mistakes. Peter seems to mess up a lot. He does a lot of bad things, but he always also does some great things too. And oftentimes, if you're reading about Peter, you're listening to people talk about Peter, oftentimes you might think that they're making fun of him or really being mean to them. But Peter does a lot of great things too. Peter seems to mess up a lot, but he stands out because of what he does after his mistakes. We have people in our lives, or it might be us ourselves, that mess up a lot. But what makes us stand out from everybody else is what we do after we make those mistakes. There's people in our schools, there's people in our work, there's people in our families that are waiting for us to mess up because we claim that we're Christians and they don't believe in the whole Christianity. There's people in our schools that are waiting for us to mess up so they can point it out to us that we're not true Christians because we also fall short. There's people at our works that do the same thing. There's people in our lives that are waiting for us to mess up to see how we react when we mess up. But what we have to remember is all fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It's everybody around us. We're going to fall short of God's glory at one point or another. We're going to mess up in our lives. But what separates us as Christians from the rest of the world is how we react to that. Is how we step back from that and how we show regret or repentance. So we see here that Peter does make that mistake. We see that Peter does make a lot of other mistakes too. But we see here that what he does after his mistakes. Every time he repents, he goes back to Jesus in humility and faith. Every time he goes back to him. And not only that, he goes back to him in humility. He knows that he messed up. He goes back to him in the faith that he can be forgiven of the things that he has done. It's not about how many times you fall short, but what you do after you fall. So many times, and you see this in Jesus' case too, when we fall short, we give up. When we fall short, we feel like Jesus isn't willing to forgive us. We feel like we're not worthy of Jesus. We feel like sometimes we feel like it's not a big deal when we fall short. Sometimes we feel like it's just another day. We get so accustomed and numb to the sin around us that when we do sin, it's just another day. It's not a big deal. Oh, there's plenty of time to repent later. Let me just live my life how I want to now. And we see that a lot, and that's not the right way to live. We need to make sure that we're handling ourselves correctly in a Christ-like manner, and we're focusing on Christ, and we're showing that humility in Christ when we fall short. Then we see here some faith. This is another part that we see here that's a little bit different between Peter and Judas here. We see the faith that they have. The second difference between Judas and Peter was faith. Peter believed that Jesus would have mercy on him and forgive his failures. Judas clearly did not believe he could be forgiven. And we see here that's the faith that we have to have, Peter's faith. The faith that Jesus will have mercy on us and forgive us of our failures. We don't need to fall into the Judas category. We never need to feel like we will never be forgiven for the things that we do. We have forgiveness. We have hope for eternity. And we need to make sure that we have Peter's mindset when it comes to this. But not only that, we need to make sure that we have Peter's faith when it comes to that as well. The faith that we can be forgiven, the faith that Jesus will forgive us, that He will have mercy on us. So oftentimes we forget that. So, how do we apply this to our lives today? What does this mean? Jesus isn't coming down. He's not saying that, hey, listen, you're going to betray me. You're going to turn me in. You're going to put me on the cross. He's not saying that, hey, listen, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. But how does this work in our lives today? It's different. We're not in these same situations. Jesus isn't coming down and telling us, listen, you're going to deny me three times. Listen, you're going to betray me. And oftentimes we look at both of them as Bible characters and we laugh at them and we judge them. And we say, well, how can you betray Jesus? How can you do that? How do you not know Jesus? How do you not see the miracles? How do you not see that He is the Son of God? How can you deny Jesus 3 times? How can you be so confident that you're willing to die, but still deny Him 3 times? But we deny Jesus every single day. We go against Jesus every single day. It might not be in the same ways. It might not be in open ways. But so many times throughout our lives, so many times throughout our days, we're denying Jesus. We're denying God by our actions, by the way that we carry ourselves, by the way that we talk to our friends, by the way we talk to our coworkers, by the way we're not willing to talk about God. We're denying other people of that great glory as well. So we see here how we're applying it today. We need to seek repentance and be aware of regret. Regret doesn't help you in any way. It leaves you with nothing. Repentance motivates and brings you back to the Lord. If you find that you are regretful but not repentant, I encourage you to ask God to help you repent instead. We need to make sure that we do know that separation between having regrets in life and repenting in life. We need to make sure that we're always seeking that repentance. Second one is we always need to seek humility. We always need to seek humility when it comes to God. Be willing to step off of our high horse. Be willing to step off of how great we are and see that we have fallen short. Seeing that we do have something in our lives that's keeping us back from glorifying God to the best of our abilities. We need to make sure we're always humble in those standpoints. And the last part is we need to believe. We need to believe that Jesus' death was truly enough to make up for our sins. We need to trust what the Bible says. We need to truly believe that Jesus dying on the cross for our sins was for our sins, for all of our sins. And not just those small sins, not just a couple of sins, they're for all of our sins. But we need to understand and see in our lives when we are falling short. We need to understand and see in our lives when we need to seek that humility to put Jesus back on top, to put Jesus back first in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I'm going to read it one more time. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Judas himself, or Judas regretted his decision and Peter repented on his decision. Judas was focused on himself and Peter was focused on God. Today we need to be focused on God. We need to let go of ourselves. We need to let go of that humility that we have or that confidence that we have. We need to let go of everything and focus on God. We need to make sure that our focus is on God and not of the worldly things. And if we do that, we will see that repentance. If we do that, we'll see that repentance and we won't be caught up in that regret in our lives. So, do we regret our sins in our lives? Do we regret the times that we've fallen short or have we repented of those times? Are we focused on ourselves or are we focused on God? Or are we living every single day to glorify God? Are we living every single day to see what the world can give us? Tonight you have an opportunity to choose whether you're going to repent of your sins or whether you're going to regret of the things that you've done. Whether you're going to put a focus on God or whether you're going to put a focus on yourself. Tonight you also have the opportunity, if you haven't been baptized, to become part of God's church, to become part of God's kingdom, to be another brother and sister in Christ. That's a great opportunity. That's a great thing that you can do. But tonight, if you have any need, please let me know as we stand and sing.